Does my spirit yield? You alone. Worship and we honor you, Lord. And we yield our hearts to no other, only to you. Only to you. We love you more than gold or silver, because only you can satisfy. You alone are the true joy giver. And indeed, you're the apple of our eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord Holy Spirit, Lord Holy Spirit, the revealer and the glorifier of the Christ, the great transformer, you who is making us more like Jesus every day. Thank you. Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here with me, and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, Father, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard, and release it all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, yes, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, and we've come to worship you. In Jesus' name we worship. Thank you, and God bless you. In my private devotion this morning, that song came to me. I've been singing in a long time. And I now called Pastor Andrew. I said, I want us to sing that song. I believe the Lord wanted us to sing it. It's so personal. See, worship isn't entertainment. It's ministering to the Lord. And you minister to somebody, you serve that person. See, you can't give God food, you can't give him money. We use money in the church for physical things, but you can't give God money. What you give him is your heart. It's the life in your heart. That thing that he gave you first, but in a amplified and purified and perfumed condition, then you give it back to him. It touches him deeply. I don't know how many of you know this, but one of the reasons why I'm actually preparing a message, I'm not giving that today. I'll give it, I don't know if I'm going to give it in February, or maybe I'll give it in January, maybe I'll give it in February, I don't know. Depends on how the Lord leads me. On the powers of the age to come. It's actually called the season of the powers of the age to come. That season is coming upon the earth, where men are going to see the powers of the age to come in this millennium, in this time. And it's typified by David. David was a very unique character in the Old Testament. Apart from that nonsense with Bathsheba, which is so sad that that happened at all, but let's put that aside. David touched God's heart. He touched something in God that not very men had learned how to touch. So God's own testimony of him was, I have found. It means he was looking for. When you say I have found, it means you don't just find something, you're looking. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth looking. I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart. Great testimony. And one of the main things David understood was worship. Not entertainment, not shouting, not just singing. Worship. As a young boy, he would worship God. When he'd go and look after the sheep, you know, he got to intimacy with God that a lot of people in Israel didn't know anything about, not even the priests. He so touched God that God decided, I'm going to make this boy king. Not only that, he made a covenant with David that is on the same par and level with the covenant with Abraham. He said, there will not fail a man from your dynasty to sit upon the throne. And he made it a spiritual covenant, not physical. So he wasn't just talking about Solomon and Rehoboam and all the, you know, physical seed of David. He instituted a spiritual Davidic destiny such that the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the son of David. It wasn't David's direct biological son. It was a spiritual dynasty of which you and I have now been integrated into through Jesus Christ. That is why when blind Bartimaeus, God gave that man revelation. He didn't even call him Yeshua HaMashiach, which he was. He called him his covenant name. Jesus, son of David, I know who you are. I know your spiritual root. I know your spiritual genealogy. I know your spiritual pedigree. Have mercy on me. Jesus was in a crowd of people. When he heard that, it was a unique cry. He stopped. Because it wasn't everybody in Israel who understood that. The key was worship. Touched God's heart, this young boy. And he operated in the Old Testament as though he was in the New. He had the Ark of the Covenant under a tent in his backyard. Nobody died, except for the case of Uzzah when they were bringing it in the wrong way on the Philistines' cart. But after that, no problem. And he wrote this in the book of Psalms. He said, will thou drink, Old Testament, will thou drink the blood of bulls and of goats? If I were hungry, I would not tell you. It was God speaking through David, prophetically. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving. Old Testament. Paul picks that by the Spirit and he writes in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13. He said, let us offer the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. David had picked it. Old Testament. That's why what David did really hurt God. He said, you gave occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And he chastened him sorely. But his mercy did not depart from him. When David said, I'll build you a house, God was touched. You know, God is a person, you know. We're just like him. We're made in his image. He has feelings. He said, when did I ever ask anybody to build me a house? You want to build me a house? All right. I will build you a house. And there will not fail a man on the throne of David. Today, the throne we're sitting on is the throne of David. Jesus is the son of David. Worship is a key. The message I have today is called Taming Your Tongue. It's an extension from what we preached last week on crucifying the flesh. Everybody say 2022 is a year of overcoming by taming my tongue. And when I was preparing this message, you know what the Lord told me? He said, don't say taming the tongue, say taming your tongue. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to tame your own tongue. Because taming the tongue is the key to all victories. We're going to see that. I mentioned it last week towards the tail end of the message. And the Lord said to me, he said, you need to blow that up and amplify it today. A tame tongue is one that only speaks what God wants when he permits it. Everybody, say that after me. Say, a tamed tongue is one that only, everybody shout, only speaks what God wants. Then shout, when he wants. And not only does it only speak, but the timing is also very important. That is a tamed tongue. And the secret of a tamed tongue is actually a tamed heart. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me say that. Because you see, the Bible says, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're talking about taming your tongue, you're actually talking about taming your heart. Because when the heart is tamed, then automatically the tongue will be tamed, because the tongue only speaks what's from the heart. When we say the heart now, we're talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. I'm going to get back to that. But this is so critical in this year of overcoming. Say, this is my year of overcoming all the loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, and the pride of life by taming, I didn't hear you, my tongue. That's how it's going to happen. Look at James. We're going to be in the law. James chapter 3 is actually that gives us a secret to this in a great measure. We'll see a little bit of it in Proverbs. Proverbs says life and death are in the power of the tongue. But we see the secret of the tame tongue really in James chapter 3. And I find it very instructive that James was Jesus' half-brother. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time in James, but I'm going to take it as the Holy Spirit has given me. You know, we're going to not start at the beginning. I'm just going to talk about this taming effect. Look at verse 5. James chapter 3, verse 5. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Oh, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That's old English. You don't really get what he's saying. Let me give that to you in the, in the Amplified Bible. See how much wood and how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. The same thing in the New International Version. Consider what a great forest is set apart by spirit. In other words, even though the tongue physically, in its size, is a very small member of our body, it has tremendous effect on the rest of the body, and not only the body, the entire circumstances of our lives. And many Christians don't realize this. You know, Jesus said something that I find very instructive. And I'm not surprised it is James who wrote this, because he was Jesus' half-brother. And they grew up together. At that time, they didn't know Jesus was the Messiah. But later on, after the resurrection, Holy Mother took all of them to John's house, because she was staying in John, and they made everybody come to the upper room. And they all saw him after the resurrection, because the Bible says he appeared to his disciples, and sure, his brothers were there, you know, teaching them things concerning the kingdom of God. And I'm sure James must have been shaking his head in wonder and amazement. This our brother, this Yehoshua. Ah! So he is actually the Messiah. He's actually God. He will be saying to himself, no wonder. No. This is an Olubi Johnson conjecture, but it's based on scripture. You know, James said, now I understand. When we're children, we didn't understand. Jesus never said the wrong thing. He'll be thinking back. Now I understand. There's nothing he said that never came to pass. He always seemed to be in control. He always was in control of his temper. He was always in control. He never said the wrong thing. We used to wonder about him. Then he wrote this. When he observed a perfect man in operation over a 33-year period. The senior brother, Jesus was firstborn. I don't know what born James was, but it's one of the brothers. So I can imagine, been looking at him all these years. Is another reason why Mary told the people at Cana of Galilee, he said, whatever he tells you, do it. She didn't know what he was going to say. Whether he was going to turn water to wine, I don't think she may not have had that perception. I'm not sure. Only when we get to heaven. I just know that she knew from experience that when they were in a jam at home or in the carpenter's shop, maybe there was a lack of supply of wood or nails or whatever, you know, or there was no vegetables or something and there was a scarcity. If Jesus said, do this, or go to this place, they would always get the supply. It was from that experience, she said, whatever he says to you, do it. James 2. Personal, first-hand experience. And listen to what James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, writes. From observation. And also by revelation. He said, and the tongue is a fire. I didn't hear you. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Talking about overcoming the loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes. It's the tongue. The key is the tongue. And set it on fire. I didn't hear you. The course of nature, and it, that is the tongue, is set on fire of hell. Let me finish, and I'm going to come back to verse 6. Verse 6, we must look at it in the Amplified. If you get it in the King James, you don't really get the full picture. But I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Let's just finish up to verse 8. Say, for every kind of beasts, I didn't hear you, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind or by natural human power. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. People have just done nice worship in scripture pasture now this afternoon. Go out. Somebody says something you don't like. or something happens, the same tongue that blessed God just an hour ago. We've experienced it, so we know what he's saying is true. Now, observe. He did not say the tongue cannot be tamed. He just said the man cannot tame it. Hence this message. He didn't say the tongue cannot be tamed. It can be. But only God can tame it. Man, you cannot tame it by yourself. You have to tame it by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what we're going to be looking at in more detail during this message today. The Lord Jesus Christ, like I said earlier, being James' senior brother, James and Jude, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. It's not easy to get two apostles out of your siblings. The fact that most of them didn't make it shows you that it took a lot of, it was the mercy and the grace of God. At least two of his brothers. He had sisters, we don't even know their names. He probably had more than two brothers, we don't know. The Bible is not explicit on that. We just know it, brothers plural, sisters plural. But we don't know, but at least we know these two, James and Jude. And they became apostles after the resurrection. I'm sure they were good boys before. I'm sure they were, you know, devout Jews, you know, and all of that. They were, you know, godly people. But of course, they didn't know all the growing up years. They didn't know who Jesus was as Messiah. They knew him as a good person. They knew him as, and James, he's writing from experience on close observation of his own senior brother throughout the years. Look at verse 6, and I want us to look at the Amplified Bible. Let me read the New International. It's a little bit shorter, but it says the same thing, basically. It says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil, I didn't hear you, among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. I just got a tweet from heaven. And this is for everybody. How many people know that sickness is corruption? If you are sick, check your tongue. That's where it came from. Umar Emio, that thing is killing me. Stop saying those things. I'm speaking in our language, Yoruba, but it's in English. All languages, that's what, you know, particularly mothers and fathers. You, these children won't kill me, oh. I don't know about this thing. It's killing me. You're just putting death into your body. It corrupts the whole body. Don't your neighbor say, this 2022, by the grace and the mercy of God, I am going to tame this tongue because it is my year of overcoming. Give the Lord a clap offering. It will no longer say what it likes. It will only say what God wants. Now, let me show you a tamed tongue, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 26. And I'm going to contrast it with some other examples, which are negative. Jesus is a positive example. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. These people were people who were constantly provoking him by their hypocrisy, you know, and oppression of the people. So Jesus said this to them in one note. He said, I have many things. I didn't hear you. To say and to judge of you. I say, but he means that I'm not saying everything I can say. I have many things I want to say. And I have many things I want to judge you. But I'm not going to say them. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. the Holy Spirit put a restraint on Jesus until the week before of the crucifixion. Then he let it all out. Ye scribes, woe to you, hypocrites, serpents. You know, you omit the weightier matters of the law. You strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. It was his last week. It was to provoke them to kill him. It was a part of a plan. But before then, he occasionally would just say a few things, but just, and we're going to talk about that more before we close this message today. Jesus, he had control over his words. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we won't turn there. I'll just quickly hit on it. He says, don't be rash with your mouth. God is in heaven, you are on earth. He said, let your words be few. Now, that's easier said than done. We know that from experience. Most of us know these scriptures. They're not things we don't know. Like I was explaining on Wednesday, you can know a scripture in your head. That is, you know it mentally. But it may not have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit from your spirit so that you have a revelation of it and then operation of it that will now cause a transformation that will cause an experience of it. That's a completely different ballgame. Knowing that the Bible says this is a beginning and a necessary beginning, but it's not enough. You need to have that information in the head enlightened from the heart. Hence this instructional message on taming the tongue. God told me, he said, this is the year of overcoming for them. And they're not going to be able to overcome to the degree they should overcome if they don't deal with the tongue. So this is one of the most important messages you're going to hear this year. You got to tame your tongue. It's not optional. It's a compulsory course if you are going to graduate in the College of Glory. In the university, there are certain courses that are compulsory. This is one. It's called tongue. I would have said 101. The Holy Ghost said no. I would have said 201. The Holy Ghost said no. He says it's tongue 301. It's in the final year. Most of us have taken tongue 101. You can have what you say. Use faith. And we've done tongue 201, where, you know, okay, I won't say anything negative and all of that. No negative confession. But this one I'm giving you now is tongue 301. It's a little bit superior to what you've done in the past. And by the time I finish the message, you will understand. This goes beyond negative confession. It goes beyond just you can have what you say, which all those ones are true. And this is building on those ones. Those are prerequisites. But this 301, you must pass it all. No option. You must pass it. We crucify the tongue, or rather, same thing. We tame the tongue so as to crucify all the lusts of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life, so that you can perfectly conduct, that's an electrical word, like conduction of electricity, the life of God for the blessings of mankind. You see, if your flesh has not been crucified through your tongue, your body and your mind become an insulator. An insulator is something that does not conduct electricity. But now we're talking about the life and the power of God. So that the life of God that is inside your spirit cannot flow out. That is why people lay hands on people and very little happens. That's why people, you know, speak and you don't see too many things. That's why you find in the life of Jesus that because he had a tamed tongue and therefore was able to bridle his whole body. The word bridle there means control. This is a good time for me to jump to that other scripture. In what order do I do this? Okay, let me do it in the order in which I've written it down as given to me by the Holy Spirit. Let's first of all look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think we looked at this last week. You're going to see more and more of this scripture in this year of overcoming. Now, in verses 10, 11, and 12, the scripture is very clear. And I love this scripture. It was given to us by the Holy Spirit through Paul because it removes all the room for unbelief and, oh, everything's going to happen at the resurrection and at the rapture. It tells you straight. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the crucifying every day. You're crucifying the flesh. Bible says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. It's a daily thing. Use the word always. That the life of God, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That is the goal. The reason for the daily crucifying of the flesh is ultimately to get to the point where the life of God that is inside the Spirit is now manifest in the physical body. This is what is going to bring the healing to the nations. Don't let me get ahead of myself. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. In other words, where God allows us to die to self, on a daily basis. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Where? In our resurrected body. In our glorified body. It's here. Give the Apostle Paul a clap offering, somebody. Thank God for Paul. If not for Paul, who knew all of this? If not for the Holy Spirit, through Paul. Who would not know it? That beautiful, he repeats the same thing in Romans chapter 8. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that raised up Christ, shall give life to your mortal, not resurrected. This one here. Now, next verse, verse 12. So then, watch this. What a great statement. Death worketh in us, but life in you. In other words, as I am crucifying the loss of the flesh in my own body, it is causing life to come out for the benefit of my disciples, those who are following me, the church, all those who are under my sphere of influence. They're getting life because I'm dying. That's why we wrote that book, Dying to Live. Pastor Laolu announced it earlier on. It's a book you should get. If you don't have it already, you can order it from Amazon. Dying to Live. You want to live, but you have to die first. You have to die to yourself. When we say die to yourself, usually that smacks of some type of legalism. That's why I try to clarify these things. It's not just talking about, not living a nice life and not enjoying good things. That's not what he's talking about, crucifying the sin nature in the flesh daily so that your spirit, your physical body can become a conductor of the life of God. So much so, you become like Jesus. And thank you. At least my wife is on my side. My wife, then a little bit of YMC and maybe one from Pastor Bega, but I'm only joking. But seriously, so much so that people would touch you and get healed and you won't know. That is what is called revival. We haven't seen it yet. I said, no, when it comes, you all know. You go to food co. I just use food co. It could be, if you're in America, it could be Walmart or wherever. You're just picking food from the shelf, If it's in London, it's Asda. You don't go to a supermarket. You're just picking food from the shelf. Minding your business, you're pulling your trolley. You're not thinking about, doing anything for anybody. Just quiet. Just, doing the will of God. Just flowing with God. And a woman or a man or a child who is sick just bumps into you accidentally. Oh, I'm sorry. I say, oh, no, that's okay. And suddenly, I'm healed. The whole supermarket goes upside down. Then everybody wants to come and start shaking you. It's not prayer. There's prayer. Don't misunderstand me. There's prayer in the background. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But because the life of God has now been made manifest in the mortal flesh, it flows to people and brings healing and deliverance automatically. And we see the example of the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus didn't know. Jesus didn't pray for that woman. He was not word of need. He wasn't gifts of the Spirit. He wasn't word of knowledge. He wasn't word of wisdom. Jesus didn't know who it was. Jesus didn't say, oh, there's a woman here who has an issue of blood. I want to pray for you. Come out. Let me lay hands on you. No. Jesus didn't even pray. It was what I'm telling you now. Death worketh in us, but what? Life in you. The life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. And I've said this over the years, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. It's a true saying, worthy of all acceptation. This is going to become as common as tongues is now. Many, many, many boys and girls, men and women, young men and old men, old women who are going to be walking the life of God in this third day, you will see a lot of, there are going to be millions of healings now going to take place because of this. This is this fulfillment of the scripture, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet, that unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with what? Healing in his wings. They are saving health among all nations. This type, the healing of the woman healings like the healing of the woman with the issue of blood will be as common as tongues is now. The creative miracles of a withered hand growing out, of a man who has been lame from his mother's womb, walking, and you know, and so on like that. Lepers being instantly healed will also become, they will not be as common as the healing. The healing will be the most common one. Because some people will not have, because borrowed anointing, some will not have grown to that level. Well, there will be also a company of people who have grown to that level where even the things like cleansing of lepers, withered hands growing out, will also be common. Then raising of the dead will also be common. But they will not be as common. The healing will be the most common. Then the cleansing of lepers will also be common, but not as common as the healing. And then the raising of the dead will also be common, but not as common as the healing of the sick and, you know, the cleansing of lepers. Say, Pastor Willoughby, where did you get all that from? How do you know that? Read the Acts of the Apostles. It's so simple. Go and read the Acts of the Apostles. You see a lot of healings. You see a little bit of the, you know, the man at the gate called Beautiful. Then you see another one at Lystra. Hello? It's not that common. Raising of the dead, only two. Peter and Paul. That's where I got it from. Because it's at different levels. The Bible says, you know, when God, Jesus gave them the power, he says they went and healed everywhere, including Judas. Don't your neighbor say, if Judas can heal the sick, certainly I will. I didn't hear you speak with conviction. If Judas can heal the sick, at least that one, I will get that one. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Now, if you tame your tongue, I didn't hear you. You will control. The tongue is the key. Now, James chapter 3. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Talk about a New Year message. God said, start them off on the right track in the New Year. Don't fight 10 battles, fight one. Deal with the tongue, you deal with the others. Are you listening to me? Deal with the tongue, you deal with the others. James, again, thank God for Jesus. Everybody give the Apostle James a super clap offering. Good brother. He's a good brother. He followed his brother, you know, and got to know Jesus was Lord, and then he treated him with the respect and the Lord, you know, that he deserves as Lord, even though he was his brother. Now look at what he says in verse 2. great scripture. For in many things, let's read King James first. For in many things, we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to do what? Bridle the whole body. That's Old English. Let's look at it in the modern translations. I'm going to read from two. I'll read Amplified and I'll read New International Version. For we all often, I didn't hear you, stumble and fall and offend in many things. If anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character. I didn't hear you. This thing should be exciting you folks. He is a fully developed character and a perfect man and able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. A clap offering for the Lord Jesus Christ. James is writing from experience. He grew up with a perfect man. He was later on, when they were children, they didn't understand. And young men, they didn't really understand. It was after the resurrection. And Jesus had taught them. Then he took out revelation knowledge. He was able to now understand. This was what Yeshua used to do when we were young. He never said the wrong things. He never said the wrong things. Perfect character. He was able to control his own. Jesus never overate. He never overslept. He was able to curb his entire nature. They saw Jesus angry, but never sinned. Tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. Another clap offering for the Lord. Oh my God. What a great God. What a great man. He didn't do this as God. He did this as a man. That's why you and I can do it. I didn't hear you. The New International Version says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. That's the New International Version. What a beautiful translation. Keep the whole body what? In check. Go back to James chapter 3. Then that's when he now says, because of time, you know, I must read verse. We've read it before, but I must repeat this verse. He says, that's why, I'm just going to summarize because of time. He says, that's why, go to verse 3. That's why he used the illustration of a horse. If you put a bit into the horse's mouth with the rein, you can take the horse to this side, take it to this side. And it will go where you want it to go. Same thing with a boat. You have a rudder. If you go like this, the boat will go like that. If you go like this, the boat will go like that. You control the boat with the rudder. You control the horse with a bit. So he's using that as a natural illustration. That in the same way, when you control it with the tongue, you can control your whole physical body. But it goes beyond that. It also goes your whole environment and your life. That's why I want to repeat that scripture. Look at verse 6. We looked at it before, but it bears repetition. It is so important. You know, he says in the Amplified Bible, he says, the tongue is a fire, world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating, depraving the whole body, setting on fire the wheel of birth. Watch this. The cycle of man's nature being ignited by hell itself. In another, where is that? Verse where it says, you know, the whole course of nature. Yes, it's that same verse. Look at it in the, yes. The whole, yes, the New International Version says, The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among our members. It corrupts the whole body and it sets the whole course of one's life on fire. So it goes beyond your body, your circumstances. You are creating it. You know, especially when something bad happens, people start talking negative. You're agreeing with the situation. It's like pouring petrol on fire. It's going to get worse. Immediately you see something bad happening, you start correcting it by saying the right thing, even though you cannot see the right thing. And then, you know, after a while, it will change. But if you keep agreeing with what you're seeing, you're going to get more of it. And it's natural, because the natural man only responds to what he sees and what he feels. So he starts saying what he sees and what he feels, and what he sees, what he says, now makes what he sees and what he feels worse. The only way to change it is by changing what you're saying. Observe. The apostle tells us that it is set on fire of hell. In other words, satanic nature and Satan is in charge of the tongue. Let me paraphrase that to get it more accurate. The fire of hell, the sin nature and the power of the devil from the air is what is actually controlling the heart, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions of abundance of from which the mouth is speaking. That's why it is set on fire in hell. That is why man cannot tame it. You're going to need the power of God to displace the satanic force that is in the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the sin nature, so that it now comes under the control of the Holy Spirit. So what now comes out of the mouth, it comes under the control of the Holy Spirit, hence taming the tongue. The tongue cannot be tamed by, this is a New Year resolution. This year, I will not say that kind of thing again. You will. Today is only January 9. Go and check. Most people, by the time they make a new resolution, before the end of January, they've broken it about 10 times. And it's not because they don't want to do the right thing. They want to. But just find it's difficult. Because you are dealing with spiritual forces. It's not physical. So when you try and approach it from a physical point of view or psychological point of view, you're going to fail. Because it is set on fire of hell. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm not going to go there. It says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at now working children of disobedience, making us fulfill, watch this, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's where the mouth is speaking from. Satan is the one who is pumping those things into your mind. The fear, the doubt, the unforgiveness, the offense, the hatred. And when nothing is in your heart and it prevails, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. So the only way to deal with it, and this is going to be the meat of my message, take me another few minutes. Good. How? By the blood, the word, and the spirit. To tame the tongue is to tame the heart, the will, the mind, and the emotions. Because it is from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you use the blood to cleanse your heart or your connection between you and God from sin. The word, watch this, it is critical in its place. Watch this. Just before I continue to read what I'm about to read, it's come to me by the Spirit and I must say it. You know, you cannot substitute the work of the blood for the word. You cannot substitute the work of the spirit for the word. Each one has its own. It's a precision. This is epignosis. It's precision knowledge I am giving you. The work that the blood does is unique. The work that the word does is unique. The work that the praying in tongues does is unique. And they work in unison together. You cannot say, "Oh well, okay, I'll just speak the word only." No, you got to pray in the spirit. You can't say, "Oh, I'll just pray in the spirit." You got to clean with the blood. All of it is necessary, and that's why it's not been working as it should be working, People try to, most people center in on the word. Because the Bible says, we overcame him by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony and the love of our lives unto death. You know, the carnal mind would all go and pick the word of their testimony. So most Christians in most circles, you know, concentrate on that. Oh, the word of the testimony, the word of even the blood, they don't use it properly. They all say, oh, the blood, we plead the blood. It's not pleading the blood. It's using the blood to remove your sin by being honest that the sin happened. The blood works conditionally. If, everybody scream it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how it works. Not by shouting, I plead the blood. The blood. Hey, for what? What did you do? If we say we have no sin, honey, isn't it amazing how correct the Bible is and how foolish we have been? We try and make it fit into our own something. It's a sequence. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, that cleansing, from all unrighteousness. Watch this. If we say we have not sinned, he said we deceive ourselves and the word is not in us. In other words, the word of your testimony cannot work if the blood has not done its work of cleansing. I expected more enthusiasm. It's the truth. And that's why majority of us have not tamed our tongue. I've used weapons in the wrong places. The blood is for cleansing. The word is for declaration. And the spirit is for power. Each thing is important and strategic in its place. One cannot substitute for the other. I've said this over the years. I use this illustration. It's a three combination lock. The blood has to be there. The word has to be there. The spirit has it. Then the thing will open. If you get two and you don't get one, it's not going to work. If you get one and you don't get two, it's not going to work. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. What's wrong with yours this afternoon? Hello, somebody. So we use the blood, I didn't hear you, to cleanse our hearts from every block of sin. We use the word to fill our heart with God's wisdom and truth. Then we use praying in tongues to fill the heart with God's power. That's how you tame it. I'm going to repeat it in a more precise way. You clean with the blood. Then you must fill your heart with God's word. A lot of people don't do this. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. And not just read it like information. Read it for revelation. Read it to put the information in your mind, watch this, with the intention to practice it. Not just to know it, but to practice it. I'm going to give you a few practical hints in a minute. Then, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues will now take the life of God that comes from the word of God and release the power or what we call the forces. I taught on this last year. On understanding spiritual forces. You see, when you begin to pray in tongues, you begin to release love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness into the mind, into the will, into the emotions, and that will tame it so that the mouth will only speak what God wants and when he wants it. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. The tongue can no man tame, but the Holy Ghost can tame the tongue. Give the Holy Ghost a clap offering, somebody. I said this last Sunday, and I'm going to repeat it. God spoke it through me many years ago when I was teaching like this. You know, it came by the Spirit. One of the main reasons why he gave us tongues, praying in tongues, was to tame our tongue. Turn to your neighbor and say, tongues, praying in tongues, will tame your tongue if you will let it. It will tame it. Now, you're going to ask a question. I know many Christians who pray in tongues and their tongue is not tame. They're not doing the thing properly, like I've explained. Many times the blood isn't there as it should be because they're not honest. You know, you say, if we confess, it's conditional. First of all, I have to agree that I have a problem with my tongue. That I've said something that is not right. This blood thing works with honesty. He said, if we say we have not sinned, he said, we deceive ourselves, dishonesty. Then there are two things he says. You know, it's revelation knowledge I'm giving you. Epignosis is light. The Holy Spirit has shone through my heart by his grace and mercy. I know that by the grace of God which is with me. You know, upon the word of God that is in my mind that I've read from the Bible. There are two separate things there. He said, if we say we have not sinned, he said, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, there are two different things. There is the sin you commit as an act, and then there is the sin that is intrinsic in your heart. It's the sin nature. If you say you don't have it, you are deceiving yourself. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I don't have any sin in me. Oh, yes, you do, in your soul and in your body. And the sooner you wise up to that, and are honest with it, the better the Holy Spirit will be able to use the blood to be able to remove it. Sin is not just something you do. It is a substance. It is the corrupted form of the nature of God that occurs because of man's separation from God. Now, the only thing that can remove that thing or reverse it is the blood of Jesus. Oh, give the Lord Jesus Christ another clap offering. The blood of Jesus. To me, the blood is so precious. I don't sing it in a religious way. There's nothing wrong with singing that. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not just being religious. I understand. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The word was made flesh. So the life of the word that was made flesh is in the blood. It is the very life of God that was in the blood of Jesus because he was not born of a human father. That was the blood that was shed on Calvary. So it has, watch this, a miraculous divine ability inside it. When it is released, and it comes against sin, if it hits sin, it has the ability to reverse it and remove it so that it will now transform it back to righteousness. The only thing that can do it is the blood of Jesus. Nothing else can remove sin. Only the blood. I love that word. My wife just hit it. Cleanse. The blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cover sin. The blood of the animals in the Old Testament covered sin. The blood of Jesus Christ does not cover sin. It remits it. It cleanses it. It's like taking, bleach. If you have a stain on your dress, like this kind of white shirt I'm wearing, you know, there's a stain on it. I take a detergent or some soap, and it goes inside, and there's a chemical reaction that removes the stain. Then when you now rinse it with water, the stain is no longer there. You don't have to cover it. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does to sin. It totally eradicates it. Give him another clap offering. Ah, Koti Yewao.
May God help open our eyes.
Now I'm talking about information and revelation. See, everybody knows the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sins. But what revelation do you have about it?
The blood, it doesn't just, how am I going to say it? It has the intrinsic ability, because it is the blood of God. You see, the Word was made flesh, and the life of that flesh is in that blood. So that blood has in it the life of God. The life of God is the creative element by which God creates everything. So the blood has that creative intrinsic ability to dissolve sin. Cancel it. Reverse it. As if it never existed. Ah, Olorun you are. Can you see why this is the dictionary? Thank God for English. PhD, I'm sorry. Eh? It cancels it. Exactly. From exacting or inflicting any debt or punishment. That's the legal aspect. The vital aspect, which I'm telling you, is that when it comes across sin, it is like sulfuric acid coming against a base. It will completely just dissolve it. It eats it up. And then, where you look for the sin, it's no longer there. It's completely been removed. In the New Testament, the key word is remission, not forgiveness. There's forgiveness, don't understand me, you know. But it's not just, it's not atonement. The Old Testament was atonement to cover. In the New Testament, it's remission, to remove as if it never existed. That's what gives you right standing with God. So when you stand before the throne, hallelujah, there is no consciousness of sin because it's been eradicated. I'm going to go a step further. You now know the power. I just saw that scripture they put on the board, which is so good. You know, it's not in my notes, but I was going to talk about it. That God gave us after the resurrection. The first thing that came out of Jesus's, one of the first things, not the first thing, that came out of his mouth was the authority to be able to remit sin. So when you see your brother's sin, you have the authority to say, Lord, have mercy on Brother William, or have mercy on Brother Carrie, or have mercy on Sister Rhoda. I remit their sins by the blood of Jesus. They're not even conscious I've prayed for them. And that thing that is disturbing them, the blood will go there and it will remove it. Then I will ask life for them. Then I will pray for them. And instead of them being weakened, they'll be edified. Unto the edifying of itself in love. I'm giving you revelation knowledge that most of the church is not, one, aware of, two, and therefore not operating. That's why things aren't working. But it's going to work in the committed overcomer vanguard. That's why I'm teaching you. I'm giving you the keys of life and death. Now, very quickly, I'm going to give you, I don't know how the Holy Spirit gave me this. I know how he gave it to me. What I mean is, you know, the order in which he wants me to say it, the things that have to be done, I call them practical landmarks for taming the tongue. Some I've been practicing for years. I'm still working on it. My tongue is not totally tamed yet, but I cannot compare what I am now to what I used to be even a year or two ago. I've learned and I'm still learning. And when I do so, I just say, I'm sorry, and I back off. You know, I've learned and I'm still learning, you know, to say only, sometimes I'm angry, but I've learned to. I'm going to give one or two examples before we close. And they're very important examples. The Holy Spirit had me write them down, you know, and I don't want to forget. I'm not going to forget them. One, Moses, Noah, they made terrible mistakes with their tongue that affected generations and destinies. When you're in a position of authority, you must be careful what you say with your tongue, especially when you are provoked. I'm getting ahead of myself. If you're a father, or you're a pastor, or you're in anybody, or a mother, and you're in authority, don't open that mouth when you are angry. You can put your children in a bondage. Or worse, you can affect your own destiny. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's so important, I mustn't forget. The Bible says Moses did not enter the promised land because he spake unadvisedly with his lips. And you know what? It was not reversible. And the Bible says they provoked him. You see, the fact that somebody provoked you does not justify you to do the wrong thing. And you cannot put the responsibility on the provoker. The responsibility is on you. I have no control on what people do to me because they are free moral agents. But I have control on how I respond. So I'm going to stop worrying about what people say or what people do, and I'm going to start working on how I respond. Because how I respond will now determine my own destiny. And I'm not going to allow the provocation of some unbelieving person, either saint or sinner, to come and affect my destiny because I didn't tame my tongue. All right, go. So now let me give it to you. I told you this is tongues 301. This goes beyond you can have what you say and negative confession. It's deep by the grace and the mercy of God. The first thing I want to talk about is in order to tame your tongue every day, you know this already, to confess your sins, the blood of Jesus, receive life, read the Bible, not just religiously, with the intention of getting information and revelation to practice. I'm reading my Bible so I can learn something that I'm going to put into practice. So I fill my heart with the Word of God. Then praying in tongues. Observe the sequence. It is the blood. I would say the blood. Number one. I didn't hear you. I would say the blood. Number one. The Word. Number two. The Spirit. Number three. That's how it works. You can't jump. You have to clean with the blood, then you put the Word of God inside, then you do a lot of praying in tongues. So with this foundation, you should pray in tongues. I shared with you what Perry Stone's father told him before he went home to the Lord, that in the end time, we have to pray excessively in the Spirit. That's what the world, people say excessively. But I'm just going to give you the Bible. I'm going to give you the Bible. You know? And I say this, I'm not going to look at anybody's face. I'm going to give you the Bible. Now, before I say what I want to say, I want you to understand something. God knows you will not get there overnight. So don't condemn yourself. And, you know, if you're not doing all of it, don't worry. The important thing is to decide, yes, I accept it, and then I'm going to start working towards it. We who are talking, I didn't start by praying in tongues 1 hour every day. Mm-mm. I started by praying 10 minutes, 15, 20, 30, then it grew. But I had heard that it's important to pray 1 hour every day. So I made it a goal, and then I started working towards it. Now, let me give you the instructions. Aim to pray in tongues. Extended prayer in tongues at least an hour every day. Thank God for Good Morning Jesus. Let's give the Lord a clap of him for Good Morning Jesus. It is an excellent platform.
in order to practice these things. And you know, they have two sessions. There's a 5 to 6 and there's 6 to 7. It's good practice. It's a good place to exercise yourself with the corporate anointing and everything, you know, that is available there. 1 will put 1,000 to flight, 2 will put 10,000 to flight, 5 will put 100 to flight, 100 will put 10,000 to flight. You know, there's this exponential thing. So you want to take advantage of that. You should pray, make it an aim to pray in tongues at least an hour a day. Start there. But that's not everything. You should be aiming for up 2.5 to 3 hours because that's the tithe of your time. So you say, is that possible? Pastor Luby, it's okay for you to talk. You're a pastor. You don't go to work like us. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Let me give you, the Holy Ghost told me these things this morning. He said, go and tell them because they will tell you, oh, it cannot be done and all of that. He said, and they're lying to themselves and allowing Satan to lie to them. You start praying at 5 o'clock in the morning and you finish at 7:30. That's 2.5 hours. Of course it can be done. Of course it can be done. And you still get ready and go to work. Look at all these men here. Dr. Williams, Professor Lopadi. They're all people, you know, very busy people. And they're doing it. Don't come and give me that nonsense that it cannot be done. You didn't prioritize it, that's all. But I do expect you to start there. Start where you are. Put the 1 hour as the first set of goal. When you achieve that, then move to the 2.5 hours. Because you need the tithe of your time. Then during the day, this is extended concentrated prayer. Then during the day, at least once every 6 hours and frequently in between, you speak, you clean with the blood, put the word, Lord, have mercy on me. I confess my sins. I receive the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I love God more with all my heart, will, and emotions. I love my brethren and all men as Christ loves them. Then you pray in tongues. So you do that frequently, 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 frequently throughout the day. You have a problem, say, Lord, please have mercy. Concerning this situation, help me to pray about it. Pray in the Spirit. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. You will find that if you do this frequently, the power of God will constantly, like I said during the New Year message, keep the flow. Will constantly be flowing to the heart. It will tame that heart. It will tame the mind. It will tame the emotions. It will tame the will. And you will find that you want to say something, something will just check you. Then you find that only what God wants is what you're saying, the frequency, and that you only say it when God wants. Two other things I'm going to say. I didn't hear amen. I didn't hear amen. Practical hints or helps. Number one, let your words be few. That doesn't say you shouldn't talk. I talk. You know, when in the days of legalism, when we first, when SU started, they would say, oh, if you want to be holy, just don't talk. That's not. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about something you do by the Spirit. You talk. But you let your words be few. Say what you want to say as concisely and as precisely as possible. Because in the multitude of words, they wanteth not. I didn't hear you. Sin. Number two, don't say everything you feel like saying. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. He said that a fool uttereth his whole mind. He said, but he that is wise keepeth it in until afterward. Give me Proverbs 29, verse 11. Don't say everything you feel like saying. Say only what God wants you to say. That will be of benefit. That will be of edification. Don't say how you feel. Because sometimes how you feel may even be right, but it may not be the right time to say it. Don't say. And that's where I got those examples from. I've said them, so I'm not going to repeat them. Of Moses. Moses talked the way he felt. And when he came back to God, and God said, concerning that matter, don't even mention it. You're not entering the promised land. You will see, but you won't enter. He said, because you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people.
And Moses should have known better, because the Bible says he was the meekest of all men on the earth. Now, what God expected is that you've grown enough now. So some like you should know better than to get angry and start talking like you talked. This will be Johnson paraphrase. Noah, when he heard what Ham did, he cursed his son. He said, cursed be. He cursed not Ham, but he cursed Canaan. But it affected all the children. But Canaan more, because it was Canaan that was driven out of the promised land. I just want to take a little digression, and I mentioned this on Wednesday. I want to mention it again now. You see, because people used to justify slavery in the American colonies as well as in England, and said that God had cursed. Watch what they used to say, and all of it is wrong. They say, God, watch this. God cursed the black man. That's why he became black. And cursed him to become a slave, a servant of Shem and Japheth. All of them are lies. Number one, it was not God who cursed the boy. It was his father who cursed him, not God. The curse didn't come from God. It was not God. It was out of Noah's anger. It was not God who cursed Ham or Canaan. It wasn't God. It was Noah that cursed, not God. Number two, it was not that curse that made Cush black. Cush became black because he moved south and because of the sun. Give a lot of clap offering. So that he could develop pigmentation that will protect him from cosmic rays. That's why. Had nothing to do with any curse. Number three lie. It was not God who cursed him and said that he was to justify the slave trade and start going to carry them as slaves. God had nothing to do with it. It was man's greed and covetousness and man's inhumanity to man. And that was why God had to raise up the David Wilberforces. Give them a clap offering. Another white man who read the Bible the correct way. And said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. This is wrong. And we must stop it. And that led to the American Civil War. That Abraham Lincoln championed. And wrote the Emancipation Declaration for the freedom of the slaves. It was never God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Yes! There was a curse. It was a curse of Noah out of his anger. It did affect the children. To say it didn't affect us is not true. But thank God for Jesus. Give another clap offering. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the curse of any parent or any generational curse that has come our way. Black, white, blue or green. Give the Lord a clap offering. So don't let anybody tell you that it was God who cursed us. God never cursed us. And we're not black because we were cursed. It's a lie of the devil from the pit of hell. And so God raised up a young man. His name was called Martin Luther King Jr. And said that a man should never be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Another clap offering for Martin Luther. You know, honey, they don't read the Bible properly. They read it upside down. And you know, that's the thing about the Bible. You can twist it to take whatever you want about it. Do you know that some of the in the first group of prophets and teachers in Antioch, there was a black man there? Simon. He said, and they were in the church at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers. Paul, Barnabas, and Simon. They called Niger was just black. It's black. Some of the first apostles and prophets and teachers. Another clap offering. Yes, men used slavery and God used it. and took us to America and then brought the gospel, but it was never God's curse. And we're not black because God cursed us. And we're not cursed by God to become a slave. All those are lies. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I got to close. I don't know if I helped anybody there. Third thing, speak the truth only in love. So help you tame your tongue. The Bible says speak the truth. It says, but in love. I even have an example here. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, watch this, that she was an adulteress in love. Jesus didn't, he did not reduce the. She was living in adultery. She had been married 5 times. She was now living in an incestuous, adulterous relationship with the person that she had. Jesus told her the truth, but did it in love. He said it in such a nice way that the woman gave her life and became an evangelist. So if you want to tame your tongue, learn, say the truth, but always say it. Ask yourself, am I saying it in love? Number 4. Let God's wisdom guide your speaking. Whatsoever things are, the wisdom that is from above is pure, is gentle, is easy to be entreated, is full of mercy and of good fruits. Ask yourself, this thing I'm about to say, is it pure? Is it peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it easy to be entreated? Is it full of mercy? Is it full of good fruits? Is it without partiality? Is it without hypocrisy? In other words, if I judge myself by the same standard I want to say to this person, can I say it's okay? If you can't, temper it down. Go to how Jesus did it. If you want to, even if you have to say something, say it in love. Stand to your feet. This is the year of taming our tongue. I didn't hear you. I said this is the year of taming our tongue. Say this year, this tongue, you will be tamed in Jesus' name. And by that, I will be an overcomer. Because once I tame my tongue, I will control my body and I'll control my circumstances. A clap offering for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love.
Let's start again from the beginning. Lord, I come to you. What a word. Flowing
from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know.
Lord, I've come to know
the weaknesses
I see in me will be stripped away. By the power of your love.
By the power of your love.
Hold me close.
Hold me close.
Let your love.
your side.
Draw me to your side. And as I wait for now,
I'll rise up.
I'll rise up like a eagle.
Hallelujah.
And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Lord,
unveil my eyes. Let me see your face
to face,
the knowledge of your love. As you live in me, Lord, renew my mind, and Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day.
Second hand on your tongue or your mouth. It's directional. It's the key. We deal with this tongue. The Bible says you're able to bridle the whole body and the entire course of natural events. This is our overcomer year. All the things that have been problems in your life, once you deal with this one, all of them, you will overcome them. The spiritual law. Say, Heavenly Father, I didn't hear you. I thank you for this afternoon. I thank you for this word. Thank you for making it clear, writing the vision. Making it plain that by the power of your spirit, I can tame my heart. That is my will, my mind, and my emotions. And by taming my heart, I can tame my tongue. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart that my mouth speaks. Oh God. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh, as I go into this new year, this 2022, I declare with my mouth that it is my year of victory, my year of overcoming all of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, by taming my tongue, by your blood, by your word, and the power of your spirit as I have been instructed. Father, it's not of him that runneth, it's not of him that willeth, but of you that showeth mercy. Come and have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Mercy not to be destroyed. Mercy not to faint or to be discouraged as I walk with you. Mercy to be faithful in using the blood, the word, and the spirit to tame my tongue in this year. And mercy to prevail. So that at the end of the year, I will look back. I would have run. I would have willed. I would have prevailed. But I will look back and say, it is not of him that runneth, it is not of him that willeth, but of you that has shown me mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, that's why we gave us tongues. Use it. Like I told them on Wednesday, don't just go, don't mumble. Articulate the words. Speak with strength. Le prininga toske fre. La prikatoski fridi glomotoloma shala prede. Lord Jesus, aprikatola. Thank you, zapridolosk. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you, da prikitoloma to fresk. For your blood, la prikito fridish kofrene. For your life, la prikito fride kamato fresh. For your power, nambrika. Lombrakatolo. Zifre. Lombrakakamatolo. Tolom tu fridish, jelika ram tu fre, lombrika tolom tu fre, lombria tolo, jele prutolomo tu fre, lombrakas, zefridis, dokrama tolom tu fres, tolom tu fres, tu fres, tolom tu frishe, zufridia, romo tu fre, lombrutus kofre, nika, in Jesus' name. Keep practicing it. Keep practicing it. Don't go. People pray in tongues so lazily. Their words. And then when it comes to groaning, you tighten your tongue. A groan is a groan. As long as I can define it. It's a consequence of contracting the stomach muscles. Just like when a woman is having a baby. That's how the power is released. We just sang that song. Let those mighty rivers flow. This is your year of victory. You are going to make it. You will prevail. You will tame the tongue. And I'm going to have a great company of saints. Give yourselves a clap of. One step. Good. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. I said the Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation. Even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch. The anointing of Enoch. Of Abraham. Of Joseph. Of Moses. Of Joshua. Of Ruth. Of David. Of Elisha. Of Daniel. Of Esther. Of Paul. And of John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God our Father. And the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you tame your tongue by taming your heart by the blood, the word, and the spirit in 2022. By the end of this year, you'll be bridling your whole body and all your circumstances. In Jesus' name. Amen.